Hello, Wayfinders. This is Michael Pigg, and today we're going to be talking about check your exposure. I know that that might be a funny phrase, and we'll need to explore what that means, and we'll do that in just a moment. But first, I wanted to remind you that on December 4th at 10 a.m. at the Kimbrough Building, right behind Kyle Elementary at 500 West Blanco, we're going to be having our second weekend worship experience preview. We had one, and we had over 100 people there, and it was awesome. We had a great time. People celebrated. We sang praise to God. We fellowshipped. The children had a lesson of their own where they played, and the kids just seemed to have a great time doing crafts and eating a snack and just being together. And you know, it was a lot of fun. We had a band of college students come down, and they led us in worship. And man, it was just Pastor Todd brought a message to us about take what you need, and we just had a great time. And we're looking forward to doing that again on December 4th. And we hope that you'll join us that Sunday morning. That's this coming Sunday morning, as a matter of fact. And we'll be talking about a seat at the table, and looking forward to being there with you guys. And hope that you'll make time to come join us and worship the Lord with us on this Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Well, with that said, I just want to help you understand what I mean by check your exposure. Check your exposure is basically this idea that I got in my dad's work truck a few years ago, and his hard hat was sitting there. He works for an energy company, and he's been in charge of all kinds of things. He's been a foreman for a while, and he had on his hard hat, he had this yellow sticker. It was a triangle, and it said CYE. And I said, what does CYE mean? And Dad said, it means check your exposure. It's a safety program that we run to help people stay safe on the job. As a matter of fact, he had an entire book of like worksheets that you had to fill it out before you could start the work. And there were even sections on there to say the work had to stop because. And basically what it was saying is we checked our exposure and we were exposed and there was too much risk, there was too much danger, so we shut her down so we can approach it from a different angle and maybe do it in a safer way. And so just this, I mean, incredible kind of worksheet, spreadsheet thing that you had to fill out in order to just start work to make sure everybody was safe. And it was as simple as, you know, if you're getting in a vehicle, does that vehicle have a seatbelt? Is the, you know, can you fasten that seatbelt? Do you have your cell phone silenced and stowed away so that you're not tempted to answer the phone or send a text message or receive a text message or email or whatever while you're driving? Is there a hands-free device so that you could have that conversation? You know, just, I mean, very simple things, you know, and then, you know, of course, working with large equipment, you know, he had the sticker was on a hard hat. So, you know, there's places where, you know, things could hit you in the head, I guess, you know, cranes and whatnot and big towers and just, you know, lots of stairs. And so, there's just a lot of places where you need to check your exposure. What is my, you know, I mean, they even had worksheets for, you know, what is my exposure if I'm going to go up to the top of this tank and do some work up there? What's my exposure? And you know, in the list, one of the controls was, you know, a safety harness so that if I fall off the catwalk, you know, I don't fall all the way to the ground. And you know, other things were like, is there an open flame? What are the flammable substances? And just to keep you safe, so you're not blowing something up, you're not blowing yourself up, you're not blowing up the facility, which makes sense, you know. But I wondered about it, and it's kind of worked on me for a long time. Are there areas in our lives where, you know, we're risking blowing ourselves up? Maybe not blowing ourselves up, but blowing up a relationship. You know, I was watching PBS, it was a few years back, and there was this this documentary called This Emotional Life. I enjoyed it so much that I purchased the DVD set, and I keep it on the you know, next to the television in the living room, and I watch it about once or twice a year just because I enjoy it. I like the conclusions that they make. I like the stories that they tell. It's very much a testimonial. It's about happiness and what affects happiness. And ultimately, they conclude that the quality of relationships is what affects happiness the most. You know, it's not money. It's not, some of the things that we might think it would be, do you like your job? Do you have a nice house? Do you have the car that you want? Are you living out your childhood dream? You know, all these things. But the thing that affected relationships or affected happiness the most was the quality of relationships, which, you know, you watch the whole thing and you go, well, duh. But I mean, obviously we have to remind ourselves of that because we get off track. And so within that kind of line of thinking, I think that that certainly Scripture warns us, don't do this or don't do that so that you don't fall into temptation. The entire Proverbs or a father telling his son all of these things about how to check your exposure, how to keep yourself from harm and how to keep yourself from doing evil and how to keep yourself from becoming greedy or lazy or, you know, all of those things. And I don't know what you need to check your exposure for. Maybe you snap at somebody. Maybe you've decided, hey, I want to be a good father, I want to be a good mother, I want to be a good friend, I want to be a good spouse, I want to be a good, you've decided these things. And we all, nobody says, oh, I want to be a terrible spouse, but we all say, I want to be a good spouse. But then do we check our exposure to being a good, to the things that cause us not to be a good spouse, right? One instance might, just kind of a social stereotype, if you will, how many of us men are checking our exposure to being an inattentive husband? How many of us are checking exposure to that? And what would that mean? Well, it would be simply, just for a simple example, I mean, turning off the game and listening to our wife. Turning off the game and paying attention to our children. Not coming in and sitting down at the supper table and spending our entire time with our family checking social media. Are you checking your exposure to that? Do you set yourself time limits and restrictions? I'm not going to turn on the television until all of the household chores are done. I'm not going to turn on the television until I've made sure that all of the kids' homework is taken care of and that the family is fed, or I'm going to partner with my spouse on this to make sure that this is done before I ever look at any social media. I'm not going to respond to work emails at the house, or whatever it is that you've decided and are detracting from the decision you've made to be a good spouse. And so are you checking your exposure to that? Because the truth of the matter is that we are highly subjective beings. We as human beings, and especially in our parenting, we have a tendency to think, I am very objective. I can see what this child cannot see, And the truth of the matter is that, even moms and dads, when their 10-year-old is talking to them, even in that conversation, whether or not they listen well or whether or not they make a good decision, whether or not they respond in kindness and, or whether they just react is primarily going to be based in how much sleep they got that night, and how well fed they are, and whether or not they've gotten a sufficient amount of exercise, or whether their health, there's so many things that we are subject to as human beings that are going to affect the way we respond to others. If you wake up in the morning and you're late for work and you rush out the door and you didn't get to brush your teeth and you get to work and you're going to be distracted whenever you're having conversations with others, thinking about whether or not, how's your breath or whatever, do I have, a poppy seed stuck in my tooth or whatever, there's so many things that we are subject to. There's really not much that we aren't subject to, in this world. And so checking our exposure, if we're so subject to those things, then we have to constantly check our exposure. Does watching the news make me paranoid? Then I probably need to, not watch the news so often. Or maybe I need to, do something to counteract my paranoia. If I'm going to watch the news, then I also need to spend some time, listening to a radio station that that plays uplifting and encouraging music. You know, I don't know, you know, what it is that you might want to do to counteract that. Certainly, I have some suggestions, and I think about these things for myself. I had a pastor friend. We were at a retreat center, and we were talking. I thought we were going to talk, but it was early in the morning. He had gone to the cafeteria to get a cup of coffee. He was headed back to his room, and I met him, and I thought we were going to have a conversation. And he said, "I can't really talk right now, Michael, because I find that the quality of my relationships goes downhill if I don't spend time with Jesus." And you know, he was a devout man. He was a Christian man. He was a man who wanted to do good at relationships. But he knew that he had to check his exposure. I'm exposed to anger and frustration and arrogance and all kinds of things if I don't spend time with my Creator before I get started on my day. And that was just a routine that he set up to make sure that he was checking his exposure. You know, what have I got from carryover from yesterday's subjectivity? You know, what happened yesterday and the day before that has put me in whatever mood I'm in when I woke up this morning? Maybe I didn't get enough rest last night. Maybe yesterday I had a big fight. Maybe yesterday a business deal fell through and I'm worried about finances and how I'm going to take care of my family. Maybe, you know, there could be any number of things. You know, yesterday my boss reprimanded me and it really wasn't my fault and a coworker stabbed me in the back, you know, or yesterday I stabbed a coworker in the back or threw them under the bus because I was feeling insecure because I hadn't taken care of these relationships because I hadn't really checked my exposure. And we all know kind of how these stories go and how it becomes this kind of endless cycle of grief, if you will. There's kind of that old story about, you know, boss got onto a guy at work today and he came home from work and his wife says to him, "Well, how was your day?" And he snaps at her because his boss snapped at him, and she turns around and her teenage daughter says, "Well, Mom, how, you know, blah, blah, blah," and she snaps at her teenage daughter, and the daughter turns around and snaps at the 10-year-old boy, and the 10-year-old boy turns around and kicks the cat because the 10-year-old boy didn't have anybody to pick on. You know, it just kind of rolls downhill whenever there's grief, and we just push it on to the next and to the next. So we have to check our exposure so that we don't live a life doing that. So some of the ways that we could check our exposure are very simple. Like my friend who said, you know, before he had any conversations with other people, he needed to go and have one with Jesus. Maybe that's how you start your day. You know, I had a friend who said, I make my bed every morning because I feel like it's a better start to my day. I think probably that's a good idea. That's a, you know, routines are a good idea. But we need to have checked our exposure to what happens when our routine breaks down. You know, there was a pastor who was asked, you know, what do you put your hope in? And he said, well, that first cup. And he was referring to that first cup of coffee. That's what he puts his hope in. And I know a lot of us probably do put our hope in that first cup of coffee. But then he said this really sobering thing. He said, but it always lets me down. And I think a lot of us might find that that would be true. You know, I put my hope in that, oh, I just need a cup of coffee. And then that cup of coffee doesn't get it done, you know. It doesn't make us kind. It doesn't make us friendly. It doesn't make us helpful. It doesn't make us, you know, think more deeply or be more considerate or any of the things that we needed it to do. It just kind of woke us up a little bit. And maybe that was helpful. And maybe making your bed would be helpful. And maybe, you know, showering and brushing your teeth and you know, setting out your clothes the night before and doing all those things that kind of are routine. But what are some ways that you can really check your exposure to whether or not you are exhibiting love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? You know, how do we kind of check our exposure to the things that keep us from living out that life we've already decided to live out, that life of peace, that life of grace, that life of love, where we become snippy and we're biting people's heads off? You know, what? How do I check my exposure so that I don't end up there again? So I think some of the ways that we can do that, you know, obviously, when was the last time that you were quiet? When's the last time that you just got quiet and said to your Creator, Where am I exposed? Where am I, you know, not taking care of business? And what's causing that? Why am I feeding habits that I've decided I didn't want to feed? Why am I there? How did I get here? Checking your exposure, you know. Am I feeling those habits because of insecurity? If I am, then what's making me insecure? And so maybe in those quiet moments, it'd be just appropriate to say, Father God, who do you say that I am? Tell me who I am. Remind me who I am. That might be a really good way to check your exposure. I think another way would be to say, you know, what are the controls that I have? You know, obviously, I can control how much intake I have of things that are contrary to the way that I said I wanted to live. You know, I have a remote control. You know, I can turn off the television. There's an off switch on all of my electronic devices. You know, there's ways that I can control my exposure. So if I'm exposing myself to ways of thinking that are contrary to the person that I've said I wanted to be and that I believe God has called me to be, made me to be, then I, you know, maybe I need to hit the off switch on those things. If I'm reading periodicals or diving into the newspaper or watching and listening to the news and news radio, and I just get paranoid and angry and frustrated, and I'm convinced that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, maybe I need to spend more time in the Word of God. I would encourage us that that's probably true, that we could spend some more time in the Word of God where He tells us who we are. It's very important. Check your exposure to the things that are influencing you. If you're spending a lot of time with a person who is pouring guilt and shame and doubt and fear and anger and frustration and manipulation into your life, maybe you need to check your exposure to that person and say, I'm going to have to do one of two things. I'm going to either have to spend less time with them, and if I can't do that, then I'm going to have to filter what they say. And so putting up that filter, maybe that filter of God's word, maybe that filter of other people in your life who influence you positively, who influence you in an encouraging way, you know. At Wayfinders, we've said, you know, there's a way to check your exposure to greed and selfishness. And that's by doing service. So we do city events where we serve the city, you know, where we do things for teachers at local schools, where we do things in the community to help accomplish tasks that maybe are mundane tasks, but we don't have enough force to get it done. You know, even just, taking care of a park or a city street, the trash pickup or whatever. You know, there are places where we can serve. And that's not something that has to be an event. That's something you can do every day, you know. Hey, I'm going to the break room. Can I bring you a cup of coffee? You know, service to somebody else then means that you have to say, well, how do you like your coffee? And you don't get to think just about yourself. You begin to think about others. And it helps train you to be more conscientious. It helps you check your exposure to selfishness and greed. Service to others means I have to think about them first. And when I think about them first, then I check my exposure to self-indulgent thinking. I check my exposure to greed, to kind of this a mentality that the world revolves around me. I check my exposure to that. Because the truth is that we can all become very arrogant if we don't check our exposure to that. We can begin to think that we're right. I mean, I think that was probably our biggest complaint as a nation about our latest political race, our latest election, was that we were concerned. Is anybody, thinking about others in this, or are we all just thinking about ourselves? And that's a huge check of the exposure. What am I exposing myself to thinking that makes me selfish and greedy? And service is a great way to do that. Obviously, we believe that when we worship, together, that we celebrate what God is up to. We check our exposure to the idea that everything is just chaos and there is no order and there is no purpose. We check our exposure by coming together and telling the stories of what God is up to. And then we rightly place ourselves before Him in worship and adoration because He is love and He is good. And so if we do that, then we're checking our exposure to ways of thinking that we've decided that we don't want to control our lives. If you got fear and doubt, a good way to battle that and a good way to check your exposure against it is instead of filling your life with one more sporting event or one more television show or one more Netflix binge or one more scroll through the social media or 10 more YouTube videos or whatever, is to say, you know what, instead I'm going to spend time in celebration of the good that's going on. I'm not going to spend more time reading another article about the same old thing. I'm going to spend time, taking in an event, an experience of God's presence. We think that's a good way to check your exposure. We also think that, that in order for us to check our exposure, we have to be aware of our exposure. I don't know if maybe you've ever been pushed out of the way before of some falling object or some oncoming vehicle. I don't know if you've ever had somebody, say, listen, if you keep acting that way, you're going to drive all your friends away. You're going to hurt people, and you're going to end up lonely. Now, we probably wouldn't take that from just anybody. That would have to be somebody that we'd agreed to have an intimate relationship with, that we called a friend, that we called a brother or a sister or a family member of some sort. The person who would say that kind of thing to us, they might be a clinical person. They might be a doctor or a psychologist or something of that nature. But somebody that we've decided we're going to let you say those kind of things to us. And so one of the best ways to check your exposure is by involving yourself in relationships with people who will tell you about your blind spots. And we're excited because Lisa McClanahan, you may have heard her on this podcast several times. She's a wonderful lady who talks about doing life together and doing it together on purpose. And so we have a thing at Wayfinders called City Groups, and they'll be kicking off in full force in February. But We'll be meeting together and gathering steam for that and then kind of investigating what it means to do life together in small groups. We're calling them city groups, and she is our, Lisa is our facilitator, our lead facilitator. She is, and right now she's actually doing a weekly training with some folks so that they will, to kind of teach them how to facilitate small groups, so that we can start small groups all over the city. That's why we're calling them city groups, because they're going to be throughout the city. They're not going to be in one place. The focus and the point of Wayfinders isn't going to be, hey, let's all come together on Sunday morning, and then that's the one time a week that we're together. Though we find that to be terribly important, we find that the best way to check your exposure is to be in relationship, an intentional relationship with others who are seeking to live out the purposes that are given us by our Father God, by our Creator. And so I want to invite you to find ways to do life with people who will help you check your blind spots, who will pat you on the shoulder and say, listen, man, you were really rude back there. You could probably chill out a little bit. I know my family does this for me, and maybe your family does that for you, but Pastor Todd does that for me. Lisa does that for me. I have people that I call who live far, far away, who kind of keep me in check. And I say, listen, I want to tell you what I've been thinking, and I want you to poke holes in it, or I want you to tell me where my thinking is off, because I need to be in relationships that help me check my exposure to blind spots in my personality, in my kind of the paradigm that I'm living in. You know, maybe I don't know that I'm being negatively affected by certain things that I've been doing, and I need people to ask me hard questions so that I can check my exposure to the things I'm participating in and the ways that I'm thinking, so that I don't fall victim to temptation, so that I don't fall victim to anger and frustration and doubt and fear and shame, but instead that I live a life, you know, exposed to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want to expose myself to that. I want my children to be exposed to that. I want my wife to be exposed to that. I want my neighbors to be exposed to that. I want all of the Wayfinders community to be exposed to that. I want city groups and I want my boss that I don't get along with. Maybe, you know, I don't have a boss that I don't get along with. I get along with mine just fine. But maybe you have one that you don't get along with. Maybe a coworker that you don't get along with. You don't want them to be exposed to the you that is backbiting and manipulative and angry and frustrated and spiteful, but you want them to be exposed to the you that is filled with love and joy and peace. And so in order to do that, we have to continually check our exposure. So maybe that's a good question for you this week to ask yourself: what have I been exposing myself to, and how can I make sure that I am exposing myself to things that help me live the way I've decided to live and help me live into the dream that my Creator has for me, rather than falling victim to other things that may be creeping in. So that's just an encouragement to you today to check your exposure and think about what it is that's influencing you, and make sure that that's an intentional part of life. What you expose yourself to is an intentional thing in your life and not an accident. Maybe today we could end with a prayer. Father God, would you remind us who we are today and help us to walk in the light that you have given us and not expose ourselves to things that could hurt us, that could harm us, that could detract from life and distract us from the purposes that you've given us. In short, Father God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As always, much love.